was a dark, stormy night as the train rattled on. All the passengers had gone to bed, except a young man with a baby in his arms sat there with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying just then, as though its poor heart would break. One angry man said, "Make that child stop its noise, for it's keeping all of us awake."
This is John Wicks of The Records, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. We've got a busy show this morning. We're going to hear about the art exhibition Object Permanence at the Opaca Gallery from Terry Conrad and Catskill's own Brian Dewan. We'll hear a conversation between the two artists about their work ahead of their live online performance of Dispatches from the Iowa Booth tonight at 7 p.m. Also, we'll hear WGXC newscaster Philip Grant tell his story of how he got into radio. We'll hear what movies Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty have been watching from their Dim the Lights with Amanda and Jenny show on WGXC. And we'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All this and more on the WGXC Morning Show right after the local news. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org, any wgxc.org page. Click on the listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at wgxc.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons on any WGXC.org page. Click on the listen button to tune in your weather.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Woodhouse Pizza in Greenville, New York. The restaurant is located on the grounds of the Woodhouse Lodge and offers takeout, dine-in, and outdoor seating. Open Friday and Saturday from 4:30 to 9 p.m. Expanded hours start soon. Information at thewoodhouselodge.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You've tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. CNBC reported that March 12th ended for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand calling on him to resign, joining a loud chorus of others. Cuomo faces at least 6 allegations of sexual harassment or assault and is being blamed for excessive nursing home deaths during the COVID-19 pandemic and rushing a bridge to completion for an election. On March 12th, almost every New York congressional representative, including Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko, called for Cuomo's resignation. Local Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett, who represents Columbia and Dutchess counties, and President Joe Biden are about the only notable figures not calling on Cuomo's resignation. On March 12th, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki declined to say whether Biden believes Cuomo should resign. Instead, she said, every woman who has come forth, quote, deserves to have her voice heard, should be treated with respect, and should be able to tell her story, unquote. On February 28th, Barrett tweeted about how Cuomo should face an independent investigation, but has been silent on the issue since. Read more about this story at the CNBC website. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that 4 villages in Columbia County hold elections on Tuesday, March 16th. In Philmont and Valencia, the incumbent mayors are not seeking re-election. In Chatham and Kinderhook, incumbents are running unopposed. Voters have the option to write in a candidate at the polls that are generally open from noon to 9 p.m. In Chatham, incumbent Mayor John Howe and trustees Jamie Boehm and Peter Minahan are all running unopposed. Howe and Minahan are running on the Chatham Future Party line, and Boehm is on the Village People's Party line. The mayor and the trustee positions are both 2-year terms. The Village of Chatham elections are run by the Columbia County Board of Elections. 2 trustee seats are open in the Village of Kinderhook. Incumbents David Flattery and James Mark Brown are each seeking re-election. Brown, who was appointed to the board after the September 2020 election, is running to serve a full 2-year term. Longtime Philmont Mayor Clarence Skip Speed is not seeking re-election. Speed served as mayor for 16 years and as a village trustee before that. Current village board member Brian Johnson is running for mayor on the Village Party line. If Johnson wins, he will appoint someone to take his spot on the board. If a write-in candidate wins, Johnson will retain his current seat. Philmont also has 2 open seats for a trustee, incumbents Douglas Cropper and Larry Ostrander with the Village Party, and Jason Detzel with the Homestead Party are running for 2 open trustee seats. In Valencia, incumbent trustee Frank Bevins is running unopposed for mayor. Incumbent trustee Larry Ellaby Sr. and newcomer Sean Casey are running unopposed. Incumbent mayor Diane Argall is not seeking re-election. She has served as village mayor since 2013. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. The Times Union is reporting that the New York State Board for Historic Preservation has recommended the addition of 4 Capital Region properties to the state and national registers of historic places. New Lebanon District No. 8 School, also known as the New Lebanon Grange No. 851, is located on the Columbia Turnpike. Built in 1870, the brick building served as a school and later as a Grange Hall for the farming community. The building now houses the Roaring Twenties Brewery and Tap House. Also named the Church Hill Historic District in Saratoga County on the north side of the Mohawk River, includes a remaining section of the Half Moon Aqueduct, which once carried the Erie Canal across the Mohawk. The Fitzgerald Building in Schenectady was once home to Fitzgerald Business College, which trained workers for General Electric and other firms. And Park Mart in downtown Albany is a concrete parking garage and grocery store built in 1973 and was associated with the city's urban renewal programs. A registry listing can support owners in revitalizing properties, making them eligible for various public preservation programs and services. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that 10 fire companies March 11th fought a fast-moving brush fire at the Chatham Equestrian Center on Harris Road in Old Chatham. The initial report was made by facility employees at 1:13 p.m., Tri-Village Fire Chief Steve Rosen said. Rosen was the first to arrive on the scene. He said that up to 5 acres of the land was burning, but the horses were not in danger. A perimeter was established by firefighters placing themselves between the fire and the house barns to protect the animals. Fire officials requested mutual aid from neighboring fire companies, and Felicia Fire Company was called in to protect a house threatened by the fire. The blaze started as a controlled burn by the property owners, but quickly began to spread. Windy conditions contributed to the rapid spread, causing the fire to jump to a new location several times, Rosen said. The fire was declared out more than 2 hours after the initial report came in. Nearly 5 acres were blackened. Departments assisting Tri-Village included Niverville, Austerlitz, Canaan, East Chatham, Lebanon Valley, North Chatham, Red Rock, Chatham, and Valencia, as well as then Chatham Rescue Squad, the State Department of Environmental Conservation Police, and the Columbia County Fire Coordinator's Office. The annual state burn ban goes into effect Tuesday, March 16th through May 14th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a wind advisory for Sunday, March 14th from noon until midnight, and the wind is going to blow in cold. The high is only 38 on Sunday with partly sunny skies, and then it drops to a low around 7 Sunday night with wind chill values as low as negative 10. Monday, the forecast is for sunny skies with a high near 27 and wind chill values as low as negative 12. Partly cloudy is the forecast Monday night with a low around 10, and then partly sunny is the forecast for Tuesday with a high near 41 and a low around 27. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Oh, yeah!
Wednesday, March 17th at 6 p.m. on WGXC, tune in Hudson's State of the Community Address with Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson speaking with New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Representative Antonio Delgado, New York Assembly Member Dee Dee Barrett, and Hudson School Superintendent Maria Suttmeyer. That's 6 p.m. Wednesday, March 17th, live on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Oh, yeah!
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christiana Abel of Housatonic, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Say, Dad, I have an upset stomach.
I've got just the thing. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms combine the smooth, pleasing flavor of lard with the soothing qualities brought to us through science.
It smells funny.
That's our special ingredient, uranium, the scent of the powerful atom. It's strong, but that's how you know it's working. Feeling better yet, sweetheart?
Sure am. Thanks, Dad.
Don't thank me. Thank science.
Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms in 5 or 10 ounce bottles at your local grocer.
If you think you're smart, then use your cranium. Start each morning with uranium.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I am in fourth grade, and I live near Hudson.
I am Lena, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Tracy. I'm the program director at Hudson Area Library, and I moved to Hudson about 8 days ago.
Woo! Welcome.
Yeah, pound you with you. A bunch of questions.
Yes, today we're going to introduce our listeners to our new program director, Tracy Robinson. And we're also going to talk about books because that's what we do on Bound by Books.
Yep.
Talk about books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. Thank you for letting me say it.
I can't steal that from you. And we're usually joined by our friends Amelia and sometimes Jada or Mashuda or Fatia or other friends. And we're really glad to have Tracy at the library and on the radio.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Tracy. Do you have any questions for Tracy?
Yes, I have a million, but I'll just start with one. So where did you move from?
The last place I lived was Elizabeth, New Jersey. I don't know if you've heard of Newark, but it's really close to there.
I've heard of Newark. We always travel there for the airport.
I have a question for Tracy, and then Lena maybe will think of a question too, and then Georgia can ask a million more as well. So I'm wondering, since we're a youth radio show, what books you remember especially loving as a young person, like as a tween or a teen?
Oh, as a teen or tween, I thought of an early children's book that still sticks with me. Would that count?
Sure.
There was this book called Mooch the Messy, and it was all about how Mooch, a little mouse, he got his own apartment, and it was super messy. And his dad came to visit him, and he was so ashamed by the socks on the bedpost and the dirt in the kitchen and all these things. But eventually, by the end of the story, he comes to understand that Mooch just has a different way of doing things, and it's okay. And it makes Mooch want to clean up his apartment a little bit, and it makes the dad want to fling things around a little bit. And I really liked that story because when I was a child, I was really messy. And I felt like my parents were always mad at me. But then when I read the story, I was like, it's okay to be a little messy sometimes.
You really connected with Mooch the mouse. Huh?
Yeah, I'm a little Mooch.
Would you be starstruck if you met Mooch the mouse?
Oh my gosh, yes. I would definitely need that autograph. Maybe a signed sock.
If I were to meet a celebrity that I really like, I'm mention the celebrity name because I'm guessing Emily is completely tired of their name. Anyways, if I were to meet them, I don't do autograph. I do contact info.
Who's the celebrity? I need to know.
I forget. Is it Alana or Aaliyah? What's their name?
Alana. From Kids Bop.
Kids Bop.
I'm a Kids Bop. I'm obsessed with Kids Bop. Oh, hello, Amelia.
Hello.
Welcome, Amelia. We just got started. We're interviewing our new friend, Tracy, who is the new program director at the library. We've been asking questions. So far we learned that she just moved here from New Jersey and that she really liked a book called Mooch the Mouse.
About messy mouse.
Mooch the Messy, actually.
Made her feel better about herself as a messy person. So. Mm.
Now that I'm an adult, I'm actually extremely organized. I don't know what changed. Something switched.
I have a question. Will you regularly, like once the library, you know, opens up to the public again, will I be able to like see you when I go without having to go like sneak into some trespassing area?
Absolutely. I'm already here every day, so you could make an appointment. But you only see my face from here up.
Why?
Because of masks.
Oh. I was like, are you shy? Are you going to go like that?
Lena, did you say you had a question?
I have a question for Tracy. What is your like favorite book genre?
Well, I know it's boring, but I really like classics. Well, lately I've been getting into sci-fi, actually. I read The Martian by Andy Weir this year, and I really liked it a lot because it's about an astronaut who gets stranded on Mars alone, and so he has all of these life and death situations that he has to get out of, but he keeps a very cool and calm head about it all, and it's actually a really funny book, and it made me feel better this year about all of the crises that we're currently dealing with and the ways to get through them with you know, still having a laugh every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like comics and manga. I read all kinds of things.
I draw manga. The thing is, I learned how to draw manga in my comics class, but I don't actually really read manga a lot. So I know how to draw it, but not, I don't really read it that much.
Do you want to know my favorite series?
What?
Yeah.
It's called Assassination Classroom. Amelia knows it, I think.
I do know that one.
Oh my gosh.
It's all about a classroom of students who are being trained by their teacher to learn how to kill their teacher. It sounds terrible.
Wait, so is the teacher trying to commit suicide or something?
Here's the plot, really. The teacher is an alien from outer space who has every intention of destroying the world within 1 year. And the only way that the world can be saved is if these students learn enough from the teacher to beat him.
I really love this story.
Did I explain it well, Amelia?
I never thought I'd get the opportunity to hear someone else about how much they love this story on this show, but I really love that story. The funny thing that I like about the story that you missed out is that he first starts out by destroying the moon as an example of what he is going to do to the Earth in 1 year.
True.
Which is just funny to me. My favorite genres recently have been like Junji Ito comics, which are all very horror inspired. I actually recently got a collection of his short stories that I'm working through right now. And they're very fun because they have some of the most unique artwork I've ever seen in any manga. So I'm kind of a fan of those.
That sounds cool. Lock and Key is a horror comic series on my list to read by Joe Hill.
You know what would be fun is if we put together a bunch of our favorite books and made a giant to read list for all of our viewers.
Like a recommendation edition.
Yeah.
That would be really fun, I think.
Now let's edit it out so it can be a surprise.
I think comics would be a good one to start with because I know all of us read a lot.
Okay, now Emily, can you edit this out?
I can, but I think our listeners should like have this suspense of like what's going to be on the list.
Yeah, I like the idea of letting them know about the list. I know I'm going to have like a ton of like manga and horror on mine. Okay. That's what I like.
We will just edit out the part about editing out. It doesn't make it seem like we're just like at ourselves all day. We're just like as a leisurely activity just to at ourselves.
I think we should definitely
make
this list.
Back to
I know Lena likes a lot of
and Tracy.
Sorry. We were both talking at the same time. Oops.
What if Tracy was a book?
I feel like if I was a book, I'd be like one of those really depressing memoirs. So I might be the way I am. Like, I'd be one of those Ellen Hopkins books that are like written in like verse, and sometimes they have one word per page. And I'm just like, that's too much. I don't like that. I don't want that. I'm happy the way I am.
If you were a book, you'd be crammed into a bookshelf. I mean,
no, I'm too claustrophobic.
Imagine being a library book handled by several people. And well,
That'd be kind of fun because I get to see what kinds of people.
You will get to meet new book friends.
Yeah.
Which would be fun.
Okay, so this group is for everyone. So everyone has to briefly say the answer for them.
Ooh.
You could visit the people or a land inside of a book. Which book would you want to go visit?
Oh, boy.
Great
question.
Do you mean like visit, like stay there for like how long? It can just be a vacation, like a trip. Like you go explore and then you come back to the comfort of your home. Or can you can spend forever? Time, whatever you want.
Can I stay there forever? I want to stay there forever.
You want to stay forever.
I feel like I feel like your choice would be like very much affected if you had to stay there forever or just visit. Because while I'd like to visit like Wings of Fire's like universe or the Young Elites like universe, I don't think I'd want to stay there forever because it's kind of dangerous. And I can't deal with that stress in my life. But I would definitely visit those two books, like universes, if I could.
It's something I would visit, but I can come up with something I would never visit ever. The Land of Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
No.
No. No. That is just a right away no-no. I would also not want to visit the Series of Unfortunate Events thing. Well, I'd visit there and help the Baudelaire kids, but I would not want to be like Violet or something.
Yeah.
Like, you'd like to visit that.
What about you, Lena? You had a place in mind?
Okay, so this is probably going to sound like me over here being like, but I'm only visiting this because it's because I'm in the process of writing this. And I mentioned this a while ago, but I'm sort of writing like fan fiction. I hate to admit it, but it's literally just like me and the characters becoming friends in the fan fiction. And so it's like, yeah, I would like to visit that place also because, like, why not?
Which place is it that you're writing fan fiction for?
I titled it Lena's Fan Fiction, I guess. And it's like, and the fandoms that are mashed together is like the FNAF fandom, the Undertale fandom, and the like Doki Doki Literature Club world all smashed together. And it's very interesting now that I think about it. Like, very interesting combination.
I think I might finally know where I'd want to go. Maybe to the world of the girl who circumnavigated Fairyland, Ship of Her Own Making, my favorite book. I'd love to go there because there's actually magic there.
Oh, wait, never mind.
I take that back. I'd actually want to go to the world of Just Add Magic. Yes, I know it is a Amazon original show, but originally it was a book by Cindy Callahan. First off, I love cooking. Second off, I love magic. Just a magic world would be perfect for me. I could cook and then make magic by eating it. Sorry, got a little carried away there. I'm gonna mute myself before I go off.
I feel like I had figured out the just visiting section of the question. I think I figured out the forever section of the question, but I can't remember the title of the book. But Emily, it was a Battle of the Books book 1 year. About the boy in the glass coffin in the woods, and there are fairies involved. Do you remember the title, though?
It's Holly Black.
Yes.
And, like, is it on the shelf? it is called The Darkest Part of the Forest.
Yes, I think I'd like, if I had to choose to live there, I would choose to live there, because my favorite part of that book was that it was about, like, youth and magic, but unlike any other book that involves youth and magic, there was no, like, major, like, steps taken to try and, like, hide the magic from, like, the adults in the town. Like, everyone knew, because I find that so tedious when you have a book like that and the kids have to be like, oh, we can't let our parents know that there are, like, creatures or magic, and it's, like, so boring, because why not? Why can't they know? What's the point? But I hate it when shows do that. I hate it when books do that. But in that book, like, the adults pretty much just knew. Like, everyone knew that there were things in the woods and that there were fairies and that there were creatures and changelings. And I loved that about that book. So I feel like that would be the book I'd like to go to, both because there's like an established human civilization with, like, you know, the good things like indoor plumbing and 21st century medicine, but there's also magic. So both of my needs are fulfilled there.
Yeah, that's important to keep in mind when you're going to live somewhere.
My first thought for which universe I'd want to visit was Narnia, because the idea that there's a door in your house that can just take you to this place where you can ride a flying lion seems cool. But I think that would be just where I visit. If I was going to go with a long-term universe, I'd probably do the most boring place you can think of, like maybe the Boxcar Children's Boxcar, and I'd just set up a nice little breakfast nook where I can draw and have my tea.
Imagine if you went to the land of a series of unfortunate events, snuck into Count Olaf's house, and then drew and had
tea. Too many threats there.
Yeah. And then Wade come in and be like, Tracy!
How could I forget? I would want to visit the Great Gatsby. I want to go to a Gatsby party. I want to go to one of those big parties he throws. How could I forget that?
That'd be fun.
I would love that.
I don't know. I asked this question, but I have no idea where I'd want to go. I didn't put any thought into it because I was listening. But the characters that I thought that might be fun to hang out with, and I'm sure I would think of more, and I'm thinking of just teen books at the moment because I'm in the teen room of the library. But I think I would probably have some picture book that I wanted to visit just because it would look really pretty. But I really like the characters in the Lumberjanes series. I think they would be really fun to hang out with. And it'd be like you get to go to camp and hang out with these cool people and like go on adventures.
I wish I thought of that. I want to be a lumberjane.
I wish I thought of Nimona, because that's by the same author. Oh my god, I would love to visit like Nimona. That'd be great.
It'd be buds.
Now I'm gonna have to read that again later. It's such a good comic.
Yeah, actually, a recent comic that I read that I think would be really pretty, a pretty world to visit is This Was Our Pact, or This Is Our Pact. This Was Our Pact. I can't remember, but it has really beautiful illustrations and pretty imaginative landscape. So I wouldn't mind going there.
Imagine if once the library completely opens up, like once COVID is completely over, like even on the like very tippy stage, like no masks, like able to touch and hug and everything. What if the library, so many people went to the library at one time that you ran out of books?
We'd have to buy more.
Well, if you wanted to restock the entire library, the library is so big, as so many amazing books. That would take like 2 years to restock it.
No, I could do it fast. Might take 2 years to raise the funds to restock the whole library, but not for me to buy.
Maybe all of us could just like take all every single book from our house. I could even take my writer's notebook or something. They could see my like poems that I wrote, or like even the really bad ones.
Or we could all just rack up late fees and pay for the new books that way.
Oh yeah, maybe we could like all of us could purposely like borrow a book from the library before it opened up again and waited 2 years. So we'd have to pay like $12 million or something. Well, definitely not 12 million. I'm guessing it'd be like $2,200.
The fines don't go that high. But dear listeners, please don't hold your books to raise money for the library. Just give it back.
Ooh, if we waited 200 years, the library would get $2 million to raise books.
Anyways. It's not going to do that.
Yeah, let's not do that. That's a bad idea waiting to happen.
But for those listeners that don't know, we are open for browsing. We just ask people to make an appointment, so to give us a call to make sure that we're not overcrowded. But we would love to have people come in and look at the books and take them out and return them at a reasonable time, not in 2 years. Yeah. but yeah, so I think we're almost out of time, but I think we have a little time to each talk about a book quickly. So why don't we start with Amelia?
Oh boy, here I go. I wasn't prepared. Well, I've already talked about Ragtime and how it wasn't really great, in my opinion. But like, I can understand why someone would enjoy it. So it's probably just me. That maybe if I had read it on my own time and not had to rush through it for a class, maybe I would have enjoyed it more. But yeah, there's my brief little review on Ragtime.
As Amelia has told us, better than Old Man and the Sea, but not that much better. So, Lena, how about you? What's a book that you wanted to share?
The book that I want to share is on a specific app. And my brother says that this isn't technically a book, but I don't care, and I'm still going to share it. But it's called I Want to Be a Cute Anime Girl, and I'm going to read the summary of it. Chan's sister dresses him up as a girl, and he liked it. This is their story, learning about who they are and their friends and family around them. So, yeah.
What's the app that it's on?
Webtoons.
Oh, Webtoons. I missed that part. Sorry.
No, I was just guessing.
No.
That totally counts as a book. No, I love Webtoons. That totally counts as a book.
Oh, well, my brother
off for me. That totally counts.
Okay, yeah. But, like, my brother says that majority of things are in a book, and personally, I think he's kind of, like, wrong. A little biased.
He's strict.
Yeah.
There's, like, an alignment chart of what is considered a book, and it goes from, like, book purist to book chaotic or something like that.
Yeah, because he says that majority of things aren't books, and he's like, oh, you say that is a book? Nah, that's not a book. Like, he's really strict with what are books and what are not books and other stuff like that.
Thanks for sharing that. How about you, Georgia? Do you have a book you want to talk about? And you're mute, just so you know.
Oh, wait, I said something earlier. Oh, I was like, why is it so quiet? He's like, is everybody ignoring me or something? Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, they wouldn't do that.
We were really upset.
They're in shock or something? I didn't. What?
I almost left.
That was a big deal.
What have I done?
I was like, did I do something bad? Did I do something bad?
Did you say old man in the sea is good? Because I might just have to leave.
Old man, the sea is good.
It's not. You're wrong.
I almost said, old man in the sea is wrong.
Yes, that's it. That is correct. It is wrong.
When was it made?
During a bad time.
Okay.
You can't set me off on this. You need to know better. I will yell about it.
I'll set you off later.
No!
So, I'm sharing a book called Notorious RBG, The Young Readers Edition. The Notorious Art, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, The Life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. By Ivan Carmen and Shauna I cannot pronounce her last name. Nisnik. I think it's Nisnik. And throughout the book, partly what's so cool about it is that they have different photos and versions of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like on the content. There's like one cartoon of her of like peace sign holding up her necklace. Another is like a bow of painting. Another is of like her with all the other ladies in the court as Legos. Why is her as like a bobblehead? So it's really cool because they have drawings like that throughout. They also have a lot of really nice photos. And they have bows of many different. Yes, I finally found the bow gallery. Yes. I've been looking for the bow gallery for a really long time. I thought I was losing my mind. This one, like, gallery with a bunch of bows, I saw it the first time that I read it, and I thought it was in the back of the book, I think. But I think I thought I was losing my mind or something. I was, like, having some sort of weird vision. But luckily, that did not happen. It's a really good book, and I'll read you, the radio listeners, and you, of course, the description. Her friends in Brooklyn called the shy girl Kiki. These days, fans call the feminist legend and Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Notorious Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This is the extraordinary story of Ginsburg's transformation from quiet, devoted student to legal trailblazer. And now, in her 80s, outspoken civil rights icon, the Young Readers edition of Ivan Carmen and Shauna. Oh, shoot, I forgot how to pronounce it. Nisniks. I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. Just please forgive me. New York Times bestseller brings the witty and entertaining mashups of pop culture, biography, readings. And so this book, I have not finished it yet, but is a really good book. And I could not put it down seriously. I even brought it to school. So out of 1 to 10 ratings, I would give this a 10.
Whoa.
At least a 9.9.
What's your favorite thing you learned about RBG?
I don't really know. Probably things about her, because I didn't really know a lot about her before. Didn't really know how much about how amazing she is.
I've never read that book, either the adult or the young adult edition, but I read some picture books about her and I saw a documentary about her. Yeah, she's an inspiring lady.
Yes.
She was an inspiring lady. She's still an inspiration. Well, thank you all for sharing your books, and thank you, Tracy, for joining us. It was really fun learning more about you and the books that you like to read.
Thank you so much for having me and sharing what you've been up to.
Yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime, we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WOOC's McKenna Connors speaks with Richard Ring, a botanist and ornithologist, about the wonders of and how we can preserve the biodiversity of the American Northeast.
What are some of the most interesting species in the American Northeast?
There are so very many interesting species in the American Northeast. Species of what in particular?
Well, birds and insects are particularly fascinating. So any birds or insects that you might, you know, want to point out?
Yeah, well, I've been enjoying, I live here just a few blocks from Sanctuary, and I've been enjoying this winter, the owls that occupy Oakwood Cemetery. And actually noticed even if once I had somebody pull over while I was outside my house listening to a pair of great horned owls, and they had been driving around the neighborhood looking for them and listening to them. So there's been a breeding pair, and owls breed very early. They're already on nests, great horned owls. And I had never, I hadn't encountered them in a long time and never in Troy, but this winter they've been, there's been at least three in Oakwood Cemetery singing at dusk and just after, hooting to each other.
Awesome.
Screech owls as well, which make a sort of spookier, faster call and are very small. Smaller than a crow, but hang out. Yeah, exactly. Oh, so they're often in urban or suburban settings, and they have heard for a few years. Sometimes I'll go outside in the middle of the night, and there'll be one in the fir tree outside my house. So it's been a good winter for owls here in Troy.
Awesome. How do these species interact with each other and take part in the ecosystems of the region?
Well, all of us are taking part in the ecosystems all of the time, is one answer. And I'm not trying to be funny, but that's really how it works, and a good thing to remember. We're all... We have ecosystems inside us of microorganisms, and we're beginning with when we became organisms that have cells with a nucleus. We became a combination of more than one organism, and we've got whole ecosystems going on in our guts right now. And outside, it's the same way. Everything is interacting with everything else. As far as the owls, the great horned owls are sort of the biggest. So as far as they're interacting with each other, I think they might chase off smaller owls, including barred owls, which are more common, but I have not ever heard them here in Troy, but they're more common in generally. The great horned owls are kind of at the top of our, the king of the Troy jungle forest, as it were, owl-wise, and screech owls are smaller and probably try and hide away from the great horned owls. I hear them, but usually not at the same time in the same place here in Troy.
Mm. Yeah. So are there any major threats to the ecosystems and biodiversity of the American Northeast? And if so, what are they?
It's hard to know where to start. There's so many threats. I'm really grateful to the sanctuary and Lights Out Norlight for tackling a local threat, which is the emissions from the Norlight plant directed right at North Troy and the sanctuary where I live. So that's one big one. Again, all of us are interacting with each other and interacting with the entire ecosystem and everything we put into it. And although we've known that for a long time, we continue to behave as if we didn't. So, you know, the sanctuary is taking that on and working on things like the fact that we're breathing plastic all day, which is a terrible thing to come to realize, especially as the whole world is shut down largely because of something that affects how we breathe. So those are a couple of threats that jump to mind. Obviously, global warming, which also has to do with what we're pumping into the air and what we're breathing, and its changes to the atmosphere. You know, here in Oakwood Forest, it's very easy to notice when you walk around that there's lovely big trees through it and very few young trees, very few even tree seedlings. And that's because the deer population is so high. Here in the Northeast, the immediate threat to rare plants, which is what I work on for a job, obviously global warming is out there, but deer herbivory and browsing and deer overpopulation is really one of the very biggest threats to plants and to the animals that depend on those plants, like us.
Are there any natural predators that might be able to regulate the deer population that, like, you know?
Yeah. Right. That niche would have been wolves, and to some extent humans. And the coyotes that we have here have been increasing and are actually, before colonial times, there weren't coyotes in Eastern North America. The coyotes were just in the West. And the coyotes that we have are actually genetically have a lot of wolf in them. So to some extent, wolves have been starting, can be deer predators and have been starting to regulate the deer population. But they're not yet quite big enough to be doing much effective control of that. So as far as regulating, partly how we develop, we tend to create a lot of edges, areas that are like solid forest for hundreds of square miles, like the Adirondack, don't tend to have such high populations, but suburban areas and farm areas without natural and fewer human predators tends to have more deer.
Mm-hmm. What actions can people take to help preserve biodiversity and wildlife?
Good question. What actions can people take? Well, being aware of where your food comes from and the waste that you're producing, and, you know, in a variety of ways. And it's very hard in the culture that we have. No one can do so perfectly. But gardening, both to create some of the food that you produce and also to provide some habitat for insect and bird and other wildlife populations, can start to help. And to join organizations working on the same thing.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to learn more about local wildlife and, you know, helping preserve said wildlife, what resources might you suggest that they use to find out more information?
Well, it kind of depends on what you'd be interested in. But the Sanctuary's Nature Lab is involved in such things, which I'm very happy about. Also, if you're interested in plants, there's something called the New York Flora Association. And they/we have a website and work on, among other things, education about and education and conservation of native plants in New York. The Audubon Society is a very good resource for information about birds. And they also, I think, have an office here in Troy. So, there's some places to start. I'm sure I'm missing some. There's good education departments in a lot of our local state parks, like Grafton Lake State Parks has some really wonderful educators. And that's a good place to start, too. That's just 10 miles outside of Troy, 10 or 15.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we're going to hear from Poughkeepsie, Joe McPhee, the legendary saxophonist, free jazz saxophonist. Joe McPhee has a new record out in 2021 with Lassie Murhug. It's called Harmonia Macrocosmica. And this is one of the tracks called Theatrum Orbis Terram. Joe McPhee from Poughkeepsie on the radio at WGXC. Thank you.
I'm announcing that I will direct all states, tribes, and territories to make all adults, people 18 and over, eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1. Let me say that again. All adult Americans will be eligible to get a vaccine no later than May 1. That's much earlier than expected. Let me be clear. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have that shot immediately, but it means you'll be able to get in line beginning May 1. Every adult will be eligible to get their shot. And to do this, we're going to go from 1 million shots a day that I promised in December, before I was sworn in, to maintaining, beating our current pace of 2 million shots a day.
Could you maybe at some point just like curse or say something completely Looney Tunes or offensive? The other guy used to do that, and it just made this whole thing a little funnier. I'm just trying to work with you here.
We're live in 3, 2...
Welcome back. I'm joined now by a man some people believe is the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Robinette?
Yes.
Don't even have to write a joke about that. Joe, can I call you Joe?
No.
Girl, we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc, Americans are getting restless and frustrated, if you know what I mean.
One of the disappointments when we came into office is the circumstance relating to how the administration was handling COVID was even more dire than we thought. We thought they indicated there was a lot more vaccine available. And it didn't turn out to be the case.
Because we're doing so much testing.
Huh? Oh. Excuse me, I think I must have fallen a...
You don't ask Biden tough questions.
Ha! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm still having flashbacks. Sometimes he visits me in my dreams.
So we're pushing as hard as we can to get more vaccine manufactured.
You now say we'll have enough supply for every adult to be vaccinated by May. Does this mean I can go to Cancun for spring break with Ted Cruz and the gals?
Well, I didn't say that.
Bong, 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 bong.
Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Keep me protected from COVID-19. Tell me the trick to how I'm Moderna. Fix up that magic Pfizer or Moderna. Biden, give me a poke. They call you sleepy, but you're pretty woke. I'm so tired of quarantine. Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Please bring me Hey Joe Biden, where's my vaccine? I need a rollout that's good for a queen. Grab your syringe, but make sure you clean it. Stick it in me like you're real.